I'd like to thank everybody for coming and joining us for the Federal Holiday Learning Program, Memorial Day. I want to thank Rabbi Walter for presenting. This is, Baruch Hashem, we've been doing this for many years, but recently Rabbi Blaitz had the idea of upgrading it, making a little more better attendance than we used to get. Some of the diehards are still are here in the room. The 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, Baruch Hashem, we have much more. It's tremendous, Kiddush Hashem, that people are coming out on the day off and learning Torah. We appreciate the fact that you're joining us. Just want to point out that Baruch Hashem will be in the next event is July 4th. We are having something of a similar caliber, Baruch Hashem. There is a sponsorship available for this event, and we're talking about Stalkers, so there will be a appeal at the end. Okay. Now that we have we're locking the door before you leave. I want to thank the Jacobsons did give us some support on this. So Baruch Hashem, we are able to cover the basic costs. The full sponsorship. Walter's notes, your name here. If we tried to get some people to sponsor, it did not work. Mr. Chairman, the July 4th event is available for sponsorship. I apologize for asking for money, but this is the reality of running a karlo. The karlo is funded independent of the yeshiva. So if you give a donation to yeshiva, that's tremendously appreciated, and that's very important. You have to understand that karlo is funded independently from the yeshiva. Every single penny of the karlo has to be raised independently of the yeshiva, and it's all my responsibility. If any person helps me, I appreciate it very much. You don't help me, I also appreciate it very much. But I like all of you. But if you can help, it is appreciated. So I'm going to make this small request. The next event, which is taking place, is July 4th. Or you want to, in general, you want to please contact Rabbi Blaitz or myself to give donations to the Kurlo. The topic today, we'll give over now to Rabbi Walter.
People still thought it was in there.
Okay.
Good morning to everybody. Bershus, Rabbi Reingold, Rosh Kolo. I just want to begin by thanking Rabbi Blaitz for being a kofa in the midst of Talmud Torah. Rain or shine, he pushes us, and we thank him for that. I also want to thank Rabbi Goodman for organizing and arranging the beautiful Mar Makomos. Makes the learning certainly much more pleasant. I want to begin with a story that I heard. There was a Rav who got up in front of his congregation Shabbos morning and announced that he has good news and bad news. The good news, he said, is that they had raised enough money to start their building campaign. The bad news, he said, is that the money was in everybody's pocket. Now, I'm not going to tell you who that Rav was, but I would like to begin by asking three questions. Number one, can a Rav mandate, can a Rav coerce, push and force a congregation to give money to a particular project, be it a building campaign, be it a particular cause, a charity, a tzedakah, a chesed? Does a Rav, does a Bezdin, a communal Bezdin, have the obligation, have the right to mandate and to levy tzedakah funds from community members? Question number one. Question number two. An older member of the community, of the broader community, who is in need of dental work. The dental work was covered 80% by health insurance, but the remaining 20% was significant sum of money, ran several thousand dollars. The woman turned to somebody in the neighborhood, in the community, and asked that the general community pay for the several thousand dollars that she needed to pay for the 20% that was remaining behind. She didn't have the wherewithal to do it. During the research period, individuals found out that this particular woman had children of means. Happens to be that the children were out of state. The question that came to the attention of some was whether or not the Tzedakah group, the Tzedakah Chesed organization, is permitted to give her money, or whether they could call the children and say, we're not giving you money, there are communal funds here, and you're required to pay. You have to step up to the plate. We're not going to pay for this. It's several thousand dollars. That's your responsibility as children to take care of your mother's dental bill. It's question number two. Question number three. A member of the broader community lost a job and again turned to an organization in the community and explained that he's interviewing, looking for a job, and asked for a quarter of the year's salary to get him through 3 months. He was behind, starting to go into debt, and didn't have the wherewithal to pay and make it through the month. And asked for a significant sum of money in order to be able to get through those 3 months. At that point, an individual on the committee noted that this person has parents of means. Happens to be that these parents live across an ocean. Does the tzedakah committee have to give this individual money? Can they give him? Or can they call the parents and say, we refuse to give this individual tzedakah? You are required to take care of your child. That's your responsibility. Step up to the plate and pay out. So I'd like to address these questions. Of course, all three of them touch upon the sugya of kviya b'tzedakah. Let's start with the Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Memtes, then we'll turn to the Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Ches. Those are the two sugyas that are most prominent and most substantive dealing with the sugya of kviya. The Gemara there, and it's highlighted on Ksuvis and Daf Memtes and Beis, deals with the person who came in from Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda noted that this individual didn't pay for his children's needs, didn't pay for his children's food and whatever it was that they needed to get through as kids. And Rabbi Yehuda turned to this person and made the following statement: Yorer Yoldav Avnei Masa Shadia, that you are a person who's worse than even a whale, worse than a tanin, because they take care of their children. You don't take care of your kids. So you see from Rabbi Yehuda's, not that he compelled, not that he coerced, not that he forced the person to give tzedakah, but he shamed him, he embarrassed the person. That's what Rav Yehuda's reaction was to such an individual. Somebody came in front of Rav Chisda, the next statement in the Gemara, and Rav Chisda did something a little bit different. As opposed to privately shaming and embarrassing the person, Rav Yehuda publicly shamed the person. A raven feeds its children, you don't feed your kids. But again, although there was a public declaration embarrassing and shaming this person, nonetheless, he wasn't forced to pay out at all. The third case is where you see something of significance. Rava mentions in the Gemara that the discussion thus far was only talking about a person who's the low amid, who doesn't have the means, doesn't have the financial wherewithal to pay for the needs of their children. But the amid, if a person can pay, if a person does have the wherewithal to pay, kofin oso, we force this person to pay. And that, the Gemara says, is exactly what happened with Rava when somebody came in front of Rava. Ki had the Rava kafeler of Nasan bar Ami va'apik bnei dal me'ezuzi letzdaka. He forced Rava to pay Rav Nasan bar Ami, who certainly was a man of means, was a wealthy individual, and he forced him to pay 400 zuz to tzedaka in order to pay out because he was amid. What you see from Rava of significance that you don't see from either Rav Chisda or Rav Yehuda was there he compelled, he coerced, he forced and enforced that stuck could be paid for a situation that was coming in front of him. Take a look at the Gemara and Maseches Bava Basra and Chesam Beis, the next page, page number 4. See a very similar situation to that of Rava. There, Rav Nachman is quoted as saying that you're able to be memashken al tzedakah. Being memashken al tzedakah means that you could seize property. You can take a collateral from somebody and say, if you don't pay tzedakah, I'm going to take something of yours to make sure that you are going to pay out for whatever need that we indeed have. The Gemara says that case of Rav Nachman compelling, forcing, seizing property in order to get somebody to pay tzedakah is in line with that which Rava did. Just like Rava in Ksuvis on Memtes and Beis forced Rav Nasan bar Ami to pay 400 zuz to tzedakah, similarly Rav Nachman did the same thing as well. What emerges from Rav Nachman, what emerges from Rava, that there's some level of coercion, compelling, forcing an individual to pay tzedakah. The Pasha Pshat in the Gemara seems to be that we're talking about physical coercion, not simply speaking harshly. It's not talking about verbal coercion, but we're talking here about physical coercion. These two Gemaras lead Tosos and all the Rishonim to ask a very basic question. Tosos in Ksuvis Mentes, Tosos in Balabasa Dav Ches, and Tosos in Chulin Dav Kufiod asks the following. We're all familiar that when it comes to a mitzvah asay, you're permitted to be kofet. Person's not taking dalaminim, you say, you better take those dalaminim, and if not, we're going to beat you. And we keep on beating the fellow till he's willing to take dalaminim. Person's not sitting in the sukkah, we say, you better sit in the sukkah. It's a mitzvah, so I say, kofin oso ach yom rotzani. We force the person to do that. However, the Gemara says, Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Yud, when it comes to a mitzvah, so I say, shematan schara b'tzid, when the Torah articulates the schar, the reward of the mitzvah, adjacent to the mitzvah, on such a situation, you're not kofin. The pashtus is that the Torah tells you the reward. We leave it to the Torah to deal with that person. The reward is there, do it. If you don't do it, you won't get the reward. So in those cases where the Torah writes the reward adjacent to the mitzvah, so say, you're not kofin. Taisus Akasha. When it comes to mitzvah staka, the pasuk says Nason Titein Ki Bilal Hadavar Azeh Yivrech Hashem Lokech B'chol Maaseh Yadecha. The pasuk says explicitly what the reward for giving staka is. If the Torah tells you what the reward for giving staka is, how could Rav be kofeh? How could Rav Nachman take collateral? How could he seize property from the person? Leave it to the person to decide. The pasuk says Nason Titein Ki Bilal Hadavar Azeh Yivrech Hashem Lokech B'chol Maaseh Yadecha. So give staka, you'll get the reward. You don't give staka, you won't give the reward. That's Tosus's question. Tosfos in Baba Basra, Tosfos in Ksuvos, Tosfos in Kulin essentially give the same three answers. Tosfos in Baba Basra adds a fourth answer from the Ritzvah, which I'm not going to deal with. Let's review Tosfos' answers to this very, very basic and fundamental question. The first answer that Tosfos gives, you can look either in Ksuvos or in Baba Basra, is that here the kfiyah that we're talking about, Rava or Rav Nassan, Rav Nachman, was kfiyah bidvarim. That he forced him and coerced him verbally. It wasn't the physical coercion. When the Gemara says that you're prohibited from coercing somebody, if matan skara is bitzida, that's only physically. You can't beat the fellow. But verbally, I'm permitted to do that. And therefore, that's what Rava did. Rava verbally coerced him. Now, you can certainly question Tosus's answer, because this pashtus of the Gemara sounds like he did indeed force him and physically coerce him. But Tosus says that's what's happening in the Gemara, and therefore there's no question based upon the pasuk. He was kafi bidvar. Tosus' second answer is that there's some sort of communal understanding. Meaning, you could say it's minig mevatel halacha, but the community accepted upon themselves that if they don't give tzedakah, so in that case we're willing to be kofe. You could patch us, you could take care of us if you don't, and if people don't give tzedakah. The third answer that Tosus gives is you should note that when it comes to the mitzvah of staka, there's a mitzvah asay and a mitzvah los asay. And when Rava was kofeh this individual, it's because the mitzvah los asay, los ametz es yadcha. And that's why he was permitted to be kofeh. Those are the three answers of Tosfos, each of them mutually exclusive, but there is a common denominator in all three answers. And that is that the license to be kofeh is because of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah called tzedakah. And tzedakah has a unique character to it, that it's a mitzvah saseh shematan schar betzida. If it's a mitzvah saseh shematan schar betzida, you shouldn't be allowed to be kofeh. However, Tosfos understands that there's something unique about this mitzvah that gives you the license to be kofeh. Either you be kofeh about the lav, or you could be kofeh about the asay, because there's a unique character to the mitzvah asay, because people accept it upon themselves. But what's critical to understand in Tosfos, and this is, takes you through all the Tosfos in Baba Basra and in Ksuvos and in Kulin, is that the reason you're able to be kofeh because there's a license because of the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah that's mechayev the kviyah. If you got to the Ktos in the end of Siman Reish Tzadik in Sif Tezvav, if you skip to page number 9, has a very different approach to dealing with Tosfos' question. And if you take a look in the bolded bottom quarter of the page, on page number 9, and I'm going to skip toward the middle, the Ktos develops for pages an approach to understanding tzedaka, which we'll get back to momentarily, but the Ktos says, and I'm reading about 7 lines from the bottom of the bolded line, says in the middle of the line, Lefimasha kasafti, dibitzdaka ispe shibun nechasim. When it comes to tzedaka, there's a lien on your property. Litein mamonu letzedaka. You're required to give tzedaka. You're required to give money to tzedaka. Vimkein mamon aniyim gabei havikilu chayv lahem chov mamish. The aniyim are missing something. It's my responsibility to fill that in. If an ani doesn't have something, I've accrued a debt. It's my responsibility as a community member to make sure that there's no aniyim, and they have to be taken care of. And up until that point, there's no heter whatsoever not to give tzedakah. It's my responsibility to fill their void. It's my responsibility to feed their to fill their vacuum. And ad kidei that they don't have what they need, I'm responsible to fill that void. Tosus continues. The Ktos continues. Im kein zesh anu kofinoso haynu lahachzir la'aniye olam mashachayev lahem. That which we're kofa here is not because of the mitzvah. We're kofa here because I'm requiring you to return something that you owe to an ani. There's a debt that you've accrued that you owe to this ani, and until you return that debt, we're kofa you. We force you to return what really belongs to the ani. And therefore, says the Ktos, when it comes to a mitzvah saseh shematan schara b'si, that you're not kofe on, that's when there's no shibun nechasim, that's when there's no lien, there's no debt. But if there's a debt, if there's an absolute obligation, there's a chov to the ani, that's my responsibility to fill, and therefore on that you could be kofe. what emerges from the Ktzos, different and significantly and categorically different than the Tosos, is that the Ktzos notes that there's another element to the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's not just you give tzedakah because there's a mitzvah. You give tzedakah because there's a financial obligation. There's a lien. There's a chov. There's a debt that you've accrued, and you're required to take care of that. If we were to say this a little bit differently, you could look at tzedakah from two different elements. You could look at it from a Yoredeya component, or you could look at it from a Choshen Mishpatika component. Yoredeya is the halachas of non-seasonal mitzvahs. So you have kashrus, there's nida, there's avelus, there's kibbut avaim, there's geirus, there's brismila. Tzedakah is similar to that. It's a unique mitzvah that's not seasonal, and therefore no different than any of the other mitzvahs that are in Yoredeya. You also have a requirement to take care of the mitzvah of tzedakah. And that's the mechayah. If that's the license that allows you to be kofer for the mitzvah of tzedakah. The Ktzos is focusing on another component of the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's not just it's a mitzvah, but there's a financial obligation as well. It's a mitzvah as a financial component. There's a lien on your property. There's a debt that you've accrued. There's a chov. It's mamon legabei. And that mamon belongs to the ani. And up until you return that money, you have to take care to make sure that you're free of that debt. You have an IOU. So the Ktzos and Tosos developed two very important approaches to how to look at the mitzvah of tzedakah in general. Is it simply distribution because I give tzedakah because it's a mitzvah? Or do I distribute money and do I give money to an ani because I have a financial shibur? I have a financial obligation that has to be taken care of.
So according to the Ktzot, you know, when the Shama comes here, Hashem is saying, both of you are my kids. You're supposed to get $4,000. He's supposed to get $4,000. I'm just going to give you $6,000. He's going to get $2,000. Because I want him to get those extra $2,000 in a different way.
You could say that, but you could also say that possibly in the Tosus as well. Yes, certainly everybody agrees it's an obligation, Tosus and the Ktos, and everybody agrees that you have to fill the vacuum and the void that's missing. The question is, are you doing that because it's simply a mitzvah? Or are you doing that because there's a financial obligation that is dependent upon you to fill? Just to tease this out a little bit, just want to suggest two nafkamina, two practical differences in order to flesh out and to appreciate Tosis's approach versus the Ktosis approach. Remember the Ri. The Ri and Tosos explained that the reason that you're not kofa on the mitzvah of tzedakah, the reason you can be kofa on the mitzvah of tzedakah, rather, is because you could be kofa on the lav. The lav of losa ametz. Let's say you have a case where there is no lav. How does that exist? The way that you're over on the lav of Losa Ametz is if an ani comes over to you and puts out his hand and you say, sorry. An ani puts out his hand and you say, I'm not giving you. At that point, you violated the lav of Losa Ametz. You know, you're walking in your shalayim and you have people like this, or you're in a shul and somebody comes over to you and asks you and you don't give. It's a violation, according to many poskim, of Isser Diraisa of Losa Ametz. But let's say you're sitting in your house, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Nobody's knocking at your door. Nobody's knocking at your door. You're not over Los Ametz. But at that point, I have a mitzvah saseh of Nason Tite. Can I be kofa you at that point? Can I be kofa you at that moment to give tzedakah? Not because of the lav, but there's only an aseh at that moment. So according to Tosos, I can't. It's a mitzvah saseh, shematan tzchar betzida. I can't be kofa in the mitzvah saseh. But according to Tosos, at that moment between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. night, I can knock on your door and be kofa. You better give tzedakah to that person who lives 10 minutes from here because he needs it. It's a shibud, it's a chov, it's a you require to take care of that. It's one place where you'll find a nafkamina between Tosos and the Ktos. It's
a second.
I'm sorry?
He's like a shliach for the ani.
Either there's if he's a shliach for the ani, then he's an ani, and then it's a lav of los amitz. I'm saying if somebody stam comes and is kofestan, you have to give tzedakah. He doesn't say which ani. So in that particular case, there's only mitzvah to say of nasan titein. So according to Tosos, there's no requirement whatsoever at that point because adarabba, there's only a lav. Once there's only a lav, there's no din of kfir. It's another nafkamina as well.
Only an assay.
That's correct. When there's only an assay, so according to Tosos, you can't be kofa because it's a mitzvah assay, shemat and skar betzida. There's no lav. But according to the Tosos, you absolutely can be kofa because there's a shiba nechas and there's a chov gabe. There's another nafkamina.
Is the ability to be kofa because of the chov or because of the lav? What you're saying is that if it's a chov, so then the chiv is like any bal chov.
I have to take care of that.
That's because there's a chov.
Right. That's exactly right. Exactly.
But doesn't the lav add a layer onto the chov?
It does, but in this case, I don't have a lav. I'm saying if I'm sitting in my house and nobody's bothering me, nobody's asking me for any money. So at that moment, there's no lav.
So you're saying on top of the chiyuv, there's also a lav.
That's correct. So according to Tosos, if there's no lav, I can't be kofes. I can't force that person at that moment to give tzedakah. But according to the Tosos, I can because I have a shibud. There's a chov that has to be taken care of. Somebody needs money out there. I don't know who it is, but I have to fill a chov. And that chov, that void and that vacuum needs to be filled. And until that vacuum is filled, I have to take care of that. And you could be kof on that.
So would the lav be ineffective that nobody came to the door?
No. The lav is only in effect when somebody asks you for money. Up until that point, you cannot be held liable for the lav.
Yeah, but even if you sit in your house...
You're not over the lav.
Yeah, but you're not over on the lav. And according to the Ketzot, you're being kofet.
That's correct.
The Tosfot, you cannot be
kofet. That's correct. That's my naf community.
Right, but when you come into him and ask him, when you come in to be kofet.
Okay, so that's what he's asking.
This is what
he's
asking.
So the question is, who are you? If you're stam a person that's coming saying, I'm being kofet, not for a particular person, I'm stam being kofet. I'm coming to beat you, to scream at you, to give tzedakah.
You can't without asking first.
That's you're correct. But my suggestion is that in a situation where you're not asking for a particular ani, then I'm just a blanket person. I'm in that case, you would be able to. Let me share with you. Yeah.
What's the definition of ani?
That's a separate shear.
I understand, but the reason is I'm asking some people that they have aspanim, you know, they have money and they come.
Nobody has that dog panim. I don't believe it.
Some people are bullshit panim. Yeah. And they're hiding and nobody knows.
It's a what's together of an ani is a very good question, especially contemporarily. It's a good question. That's another shear.
The pasuk is saying day machzoro asher echzar lo.
Okay, so you have to know when a person is day machzoro. Okay, it's a shear in and of itself, a separate shear.
Right. What if you're walking through the streets of Jerusalem and someone asks you and you give, and then they ask for more, or your friend...
Your yotze, the lav, you're not over on the lav of Los Amitz as long as you give something. You give a quarter, you can give 10 cents, whatever it is. You can give as long as you give something, not over on the lav.
But didn't Tosa say you could force him off to what his obligations are for
you? Yes, you have to know you have to know what those... Like I said, it's a separate shiur. What the gedra is. Is it De Machsaro? Is it Chomesh? Is it Meiser? Is it Nasan Titen? There are different levels of what the chiv of tzedak is. We could get to that at a different point.
It sounds like the mitzvah says is whether or not he's a ani or not, but the lav is going to be... Even an usher who's asking for tzedakah.
It's a fair point. Again, if it's an usher, you don't have to give an usher. But if it's an usher who at one point had a horse and a wagon and now he doesn't, yes, the Gemara says Maseches Ksuvos that you have to even feel that.
But that's
feel sir slurko v'alav.
But that part's the mitzvah sasei. But that's a chiluk between the mitzvah sasei and the mitzvah.
It could be a chiluk between mitzvah sasei and lo sasei. There are many chiluk to mitzvah sasei and lo sasei.
Is this also shayach that you have to give tzedakah to a goy?
No. Different sugya. That'll be a third Yom Yom.
Another nafkamina based on what the Rav's saying, that if the chiyuv is because of a lav, so then the avera, the lav, if the chiyuv is because of a chov, then the lav would be until a person completes their chov. The haino.
It doesn't sound like that. The lav only is not giving something. The question is, what is that something? That's a good question.
Even though what the catalyst...
So Matt is suggesting his distinction between the lav and the assay. It's hard to know, and the poskim don't express very clearly the difference between the lav and the assay versus how much you have to give. The pashtus is that los amitz means you just didn't give him something, that you turned a blind eye, you didn't look at the ani, and you refused to give him. That's los amitz. But as long as I give something, I'm not over on los amitz. The mitzvah assay speaks to me giving more. The de machsaro, the maiser, the chomish, etc.
And we're saying even the chov. Even if the impetus was the chov.
That's correct. Let me suggest... I'm sorry?
Based on that answer of Tosis, that it's because of the lab, based on that, he forced him to give 400 zuz.
The Gemara says he forced him to give 400 zuz.
The lab was not just he forced him to give 400
zuz. That's good. The way Tosis learns, that teretz, the Ri's teretz, which is mutually exclusive to the other terutzim, that's correct. It's
but
because
that was
of the lab.
Trigger. In other words, the lab is what gave him the rishus to be toveya.
That's correct. So my suggestion, when there is no lab, when there's only an assay, that's when you have a nafkamina between the ketzos and Tosis.
But I'll touch was you couldn't force him to give 400. You could force him to give something.
Yes. That's as long as we're learning the lav that it's only something.
Touch could go all the way to 400.
That's correct. This is like a Shirin Panovich. They didn't let the Rosh Hashiva like it.
Is there a difference between individuals versus community organizations collecting on behalf of them?
Yes, there is a difference. If there's time, and I would really like to get back to answer the three questions. I think that's what people are interested in. I'd like to get back to answer those three questions and how those were handled. But
the local, why can't you just say, I'm really sorry, but I can't give it. I'd love to, but I can't. I'm saying that...
You could say that, but you're still over in the lab. But you're over in the lab. I didn't give the person. If I don't have money on me, so I don't have money. What am I going to do? Are you mechuyev to always carry around money? Maybe. If you don't want to be over the lab.
Are you forced to go to the bank?
I don't,
you have money, so do you.
It's two-pronged.
Correct. Again, you're violating the lab. The pasuk says you have to give. If you didn't give, you didn't give.
So you want to say that maybe you could be only the losa ametas if you wanted to give, and los sikpas if you didn't give. So you'd only be over in 1 month.
That's what he's suggesting.
Is there an opportunity that we see in Allah between those two?
If I were to give a shiur on the lavin and assays, you see other fascinating nafkaminas, some of which have been mentioned thus far. But I want to talk a little bit more about kfiya, because it does have interesting nafkaminas, as we'll see in a moment. Take a look at the Gemara Memchesem at Aleph. There's a meme from
page
Rav Chisda, page number 5. Rav Chisda makes the following statement. It's the first line in the bolded text in the Gemara Memchas. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mar Ukva. Mishne Shtata, person is deranged, loses his mind. He's a shota. Bezdin Yordin Linachasav, Vizanin Umafarnesin Es Ishto Uvanav Uvnosav Adavar Acher. Mar Ukva makes a statement that if a person loses their mind, they're still required to pay out his wife because of the ksuva. He has to take care of his children and Davar Acher. The Gemara is a debate what Davar Acher is, but let's learn, like most we showed him, that Davar Acher means tztaka, which means that you could force this person to give tztaka. Now, how do you understand that?
You can't force him. He's a shoteh.
So you're based in Yordan Lenachasov. You go into his property, you go into his assets, and you take money out of his assets. Now, how could you take money out of somebody's assets as a shoteh? How are you allowed to do that? Nu, what do you say? How do I do that? So I'll tell you, the Ktzo says. The Ktzo says, because there's a Shiva Nechassim. You're required, you're forced to give money. There's a Chov. And since there's a Chov, there's a requirement to take care of the Chov that you have. And therefore, as a result, that, the Ktzo says, is a Raya Shein Olam Tshuva, that you absolutely, positively have to learn that the mitzvah of Tzedakah is a Shiva Nechassim and it's a Chov. That's what he says. Now, although the Ktzos makes that statement, what is Tosfos going to say? How's Tosfos going to learn this Gemara? How the other Rishonim going to learn this Gemara? So we take a look in Rashi. Rashi learns this Gemara kipshuto. Rashi says, you know why you could be yored l'nechasav? Do you know why you could go into this person's assets and take away his money in order to give it to tzedakah? Rashi says, aval nishtata, I'm in dibra maschir v'lo shani l'cha at the end, aval nishtata, the yatz min ha'olam shelo l'das, mistama nichale, shiazuna banav nosav mishalo. The pashtus is that you're going to want to take care of tzedakah. You're going to want to take care of your children. The person lost his mind. He's deranged. He went crazy. He's a lunatic. But does that mean that he doesn't want to take care of his children and not give money to tzedakah? Mistama, he does. So the way Rashi understands, and will suggest that this would be the way Tosfos will learn this Gemara as well, this is not a shibud nechasim. This Gemara is not talking about a chov. The Gemara is trying to make an umdun of the person's das. Does this person and will this person be interested in giving tzedakah or not? Now here's the nafkamina. Take a look in the next page in the Rambam. The Rambam on page 6, Hilchos Nachlas, Perik Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph, Paskins this Gemara. Mishan Ishtatim, in the bold, Oshin Ischarish, Bezdin Poskin Al Tztakim Hayaroi. Bezdin will force, compel, will be yoreh to the nechasim of this person and make sure that this person from his assets gives tztaka and gives money to his children. The Kesef Mishnah here learns, like the Ktzos, that the pshat in the Rambam is that there's a shibud nechasim, and therefore the reason that the Rambam paskins that you have to give tztaka, you're forced to be yoreh lenechasim, is because there's a shibud nechasim. But not so fast. Take a look at the halach in Shulchan Aruch on the last page, page number 10. There the Shulchan Aruch rules seemingly not like the Rambam and not like the Ktzos was learning. The Halach and Shulchan Aruch, the Reish Mem Ches, the second siman in all of Hilchos Tzedakah, says that every person is required to give tzedakah. If a person doesn't give tzedakah, in line number 4, Bezdin kofenoso umakinoso makas mardus at sheyitein mashe amduhu litein viyordin l'nechasav. This is all our Gemara. Bezdin is makim. He gives him malchus. You give the person lashes. And you make sure that this person gives whatever they are able to give. Yordin l'nechasav. You go into their assets and their property, and you seize property, and you can take their assets in order to give tzedakah. However, the Shulchan Aruch here adds a word, bifanav. Only when the person is in your proximity, when you see him. What do you mean, bifanav? Take a look, the Shulchan Aruch that the Ktzos was quoting on the previous page, page number 8. says in the bold in the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Tezvav in Simin Reish Tzadik, Mishin Eshtata, somebody who's deranged, a lunatic, Onis Charesh, Bezdin Poskin Alav Tztakim Hayeroi. The Shulchan Aruch here says nothing about the fact that you're doing it befanav. The Shulchan Aruch here, the Ketzo says, is learning that it's a Shibud Nechasim, just like the Kesef Mishnah was learning the Rambam. So why is it that the Shulchan Aruch here is saying that you could only do it befanav, you could only force this person, you could only be Yorid L'Nechasim if the person is in front of you? What seems to emerge is that the Shulchan Aruch here in Yoredeya understands the mitzvah of Tzedakah differently. He doesn't understand that you could be Yorid L'Nechasim befanav or Shelo befanav. You could only go into the person's assets, the Shota, if the Shota is there. But you can't take it from him if he's not there. Now, if it's a Shibud Nechasim Tzedakah, I should be able to do that whether it's Befanav or whether it's Shalom Befanav. So why does the Shulchan Aruch here say that I could only do it Befanav? More than that, it would seem to be a steer in Shulchan Aruch. In Choshe Mishvat Simen Reish Tzadik, the Ketzos and the Kesef Mishnah learned the strongest Raya from the Gemara in Ksuvas on Daf Mem Ches that you could be Yored L'Nechasav if the Shota, then you could take everything of his. The Shulchan Aruch says nothing about a distinction between Befanav or Shalom Befanav because there's a Shibud Nechasim. That's how the Ketzos learns the Shulchan Aruch. But here in Yoredeya, the Shulchan Aruch says you could only do that befanav, but not shalom befanav, which is indicative of the fact that the Mechaber here understands that the mitzvah of tzedakah is not a shibud nechasim, but it's simply a mitzvah of tzedakah. How do you reconcile the Shulchan Aruch? So if you take a look in the Shach quotes a Bach, and the Shach says that the simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, when he says that you could do it befanav, it's kol shekein shalom befanav. You could do a bein befanav, bein shalom befanav. And according to the Bach, then the Shulchan Aruch would be even Steven. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshe Mishpat and the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya are both learning, the Mechaber is learning that stuck is a Shibud Nechasim. And therefore I could see somebody's property, I could go into his assets, whether the person is there, whether the person is not there, and I could take the money because it's a Shibud Nechasim. That would be the approach to take in terms of how to understand the Shulchan Aruch. So again, there are two different ways to look at the mitzvah of tzedakah. Either you look at it as a mitzvah that I have to do, no different than any other mitzvah, or no, I look at it as a shibud nechasim. There is a fundamental and categorical responsibility that I have to fill a chov. I'd like to go back and start addressing the three questions that we started with, and you'll see how much of it will depend upon our discussion thus far. Can a rabbi, can a rav, force congregants, a congregation, to give tzedakah to a particular cause? So the Nodi B'Yehuda in Tshuvas in Tinyana, Yaradan, Simakuf Reish Memches, was asked the following question. There was a very wealthy individual in the city, and it was very well known that he had the means to support many institutions, but he didn't. He was a miser. His wife, who was the treasurer and the accountant and held the books, knew very well what was going on in his accounts and was able to manage his account and was slowly trickling tzedakah funds to various communal institutions. The rabbi of the city heard about this and found out about this and became frightened. And he turned to Nodi B'Yehuda and said, is this wife acting with propriety? Is she able to take the husband's finances, feed the community, take care of enormous amount of stuck institutions? Is that appropriate or not? I quote you the Nodi B'Yehuda, as I said, Yardea Tinyana Simen Kuflin Ches. Chas v'shalom. Lekabel mimena v'hu gezel gomer. You cannot take from this woman. It's prohibited to take tzedakah from her. I, says the Nodi B'Yehuda, av shebezdin kofen ala tzedakah. You're permitted to coerce and you're permitted to force somebody to give tzedakah. Mikol makom mishsam es ha'isha l'shofet es v'isha psula ladun. Who said that this woman has that ability of bezdin? She can't simply start taking his tzedakah funds and giving it out. The Gamla Bezdin, listen to this. Gamla Bezdin and Rishus Likach Mimenu B'liyidiyaso. Even Bezdin doesn't have the right to give out finances without telling the person that they're doing that. You can't do that Shalom Befanav. Rak Modin, Umimashkinin, Velokchin Befanav Balkorcho, Ava B'liyidiyaso Gnevi. Without telling the person, without telling the husband, the wealthy individual, you simply are prohibited from taking money out of this woman's hands, although she's running the treasury, the accounting, and the books, you can't take it. Take a look at an Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Reish Mem Ches quotes this Nodi B'Yehuda, but not by name, because he argues on him, and he argues on him vehemently. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, Ra'isi L'Gadol Echad, I saw a tshuva of a gadol. He doesn't say who. And he says that this gadol usur bebeis haKnesses to take money from this particular woman. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, I disagree. And do you know why I disagree? Because maybe in the times of the Nodi B'Yehuda there was a real bona fide Bezdin, and the Bezdin then was Taka Kofa. So therefore, you can't take it from the woman until the bezin is kofa. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, historically, it sounds like in the 1700s, but they did were being kofa and stucka. That's the Aruch HaShulchan suggestion. But Biyamav says the Shulchan Aruch, Biyameinu, we can't take it from this woman because we don't have a bezin that's doing it. But were there to be a bezin, the bezin can be kofa this individual to make sure he's giving the requisite amount of stucka that he is required to do. But then Aruch HaShulchan pens and finishes the statement with the following. Amnam im harav shebair omerla shilafi ercho. If the rabbi of the city tells this woman and her husband, im haya yadenu tkifa, if we have the strength, if the rabbi has the strength, the bezin has the strength, then hayu kofen oso litein kach the kach, we would force this person to give what he's supposed to give, and we will not say that just because this person we don't have a bezin that we're not going to require him to do it, but the rabbi takes the role of the bezin and can force this individual to give tzedakah. What emerges from the Aruch HaShulchan as well as from the Nodi Bihuda, that in such a situation, were somebody not doing what they were supposed to do, indeed you could compel, coerce, and force this person to give tzedakah. You have to wonder how that works. Will it work? Will it be successful or not? But it's not that the halachas of kfiya changed from the times of the Shulchan Aruch, from Rava to the Rishonim and to the Shulchan Aruch till today. The din of kfiya still exists. The question is, can it be used and will it work or not? So that's stealing. When it comes to the Rav. What?
By stealing?
No. So the Nod Bihuda says it's stealing. You can't steal. But the both the Nod Bihuda and the Aruch HaShulchan understand that you can force the person befanav to tell him to give tzedakah. That you can do. Stealing is asr. That is uncontested. So but to force the person, you can't.
Stealing is befanav. Is not called stealing then?
No, you have to be kofen. And the way the Aruch HaShulchan learns, and seemingly the way the Nod Bihuda learns, that you have to have some sort of conversation. There has to be some knowledge and some recognition of what's taking place. Once that's taking place, you can be kofen.
But once he says no, then you can go and sneak it around and take it out.
No. You can't steal from the person. You could be kofim, achyom rotsani. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. But until he says rotsani, that's your responsibility to take care of that. Now, I wouldn't suggest being kofim somebody physically because, you know, you'll go to jail. But you have to use your...
What's the difference between befanav and shelo befanav if you're forcing it?
So, like I said, according to the Ktos, there's no difference between befanav and shelo befanav. It's a shibud nechasim. You have to take care of it all the time. Yeah. But according to the way Tosfos learns that it's a mitzvah, the mitzvah of kfiya, I can't force somebody to sit in a sukkah if I don't see them in Taiwan. I can't force somebody to take dalamina when they're in Eastern Asia. I can't do that. When they're in front of me in Silver Spring and I see them, I can be kofa for them. Same thing is true with tzedakah. If the person is in front of me, I see he's not giving tzedakah, I can force you to give it. But if not, not.
I wanted to say that the difference between the two is that befanav, meaning he knows about it. I'm going to force you. This is what you need to bring. You need to give like that amount. So this way, I'm giving him the opportunity to say, well, you know what? Don't take my house. Don't take my car. I have some money in the safe. I'm going to give it to you. Now that you don't want to do it, okay, it's fine. So now I'm going to take it.
I already
let him know. But when he doesn't know,
then you can't.
Maybe he's going to pay you in a different way. You cannot force a guy in what way to pay.
Right here.
He's
so that's what the Ktos says. The Ktos says the reason that you don't force Shalom Bafan is because Mistam and Nithna Bimdina Sayah. Let's get, and I'm happy to take questions after. If anybody wants to leave, I don't want to be cough anybody to stay. But the next question that we discussed was regarding this elderly woman who was asking for several thousand dollars for tzedakah, and we found out that she had children of means. Can we force the children out of town to pay for this dental work, or does the local tzedakah organization have to pay for that? So the halacha is in Gemara Maseches Kiddush with Paskim and Shulchan Aruch and Kibud Av Eim, Simen Resh Mem, that Kibud Av Eim Mishal Ha'Av Eim, which means that if a child wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim, he wants to take the Amtrak to New York to visit his parents, he wants to put his parents in a nursing home to make sure that they're taken care of, the finances to do that with are from the parents' finances. There's no requirement that children have to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim with their own money, only from the parents. Let's say the parents don't have the money. They can't pay for a nursing home. They can't pay for you to the tolls to get to New York, and they can't pay for you to go on the Amtrak. Can we be co-fed the children to use their money to take care of their parents? So listen carefully. It's going to depend what the mitzvah is that you're doing when you're taking care of your parents. If the mitzvah is a mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim, The pasuk says, the fifth of the Seres Tedibros, Kabed es avicha v'simecha, l'man yarichon yamecha. It's a mitzvah saseh shematan schar betzida. Since it's a mitzvah saseh shematan schar betzida, we can't be kofa the children to pay for the parents' nursing home and to send them to travel first class or second class or even in the back class to get to their house. But if the mitzvah that you're doing now is a mitzvah of tztaka, and that we can be kofa, because tztaka is different than a regular mitzvah saseh shematan schar betzida, either the way Tosos learns or the way the Ketos learns. Watch this. The Shulchan Aruch says like this in Simen Reish Mem, that your machal and mashke your parents mishala av, but vim ein la av v'yesh leben, if the father, the parents don't have any money, and the children do have money, kofen oso v'zon aviv kinfi mashu yachol. You can force the children to pay and to take care of their parents' necessities. That's the mitzvah of kibud avim. All the Nosei Kelim and Shulchan Aruch say, what do you mean? How can you do that? Kibud Aveim, it's a mitzvah saseh, shematan schar betzida. You can't do that. So the Taz learns that the pshat is like we suggested, that it's a mitzvah of tztaka that you're doing. It's no longer a mitzvah of kibud aveim. And since it's a mitzvah of tztaka, mitzvah saseh, shematan schar betzida, either like Tosfos that you have to mitzvah to do, or like the Ketos that there's a shibur nechasim. Rabbi Yashiv in the back of the Sefer B'orach HaTzedakah was asked by a community that wanted to levy $250 upon a community member to take care of their parents. The community couldn't take care of the responsibilities, and there were children who could. So Rabbi Yashiv was asked whether or not the community can force the children to give tzedakah to the parents. So in his tshuva, he develops the approach which we just discussed, whether the filling a parent's need is coming from the mitzvah of kibud avim, and if it's coming from the mitzvah of kibud avim, you cannot. If it's coming from the mitzvah of tztak, you can. And then Rebbe Yashiv says like this, Lahalacha, we paskin like the Mechaber, the way the Taz learns and the Ramah learns like this as well, that filling a parent's need when they can't do it is because of the mitzvah of tztak. V'hoel ve'enachiv ala ben elamidin staka, i'ev shalodun v'lechayiv b'skum hanau, kol od v'lo nespire ma'matzavo ha'kaspi shala ben, v'chol shekein shein lahatil ala v'chiv lachzor ala pas etzel anche chesed. The first thing Rabbi Yashiv says you have to do, you have to check what the kids can pay for. Until you tell me, Rabbi Yashiv says, until you show me an algorithm, until you show me data, until you show me paperwork that shows what the children can afford, I can't force the children to pay. Maybe they're also on you. But Rabbi Yashiv learns that were we to know what the children can pay and they have the ability to pay, then certainly the community has the right to be kofed the children of the parents to give tztaka, and it's no longer the responsibility of the community because we're coming because of the mitzvah of tztaka and we're not coming from the mitzvah of kibud avim. Just to finish with the last question that we dealt with, a community member who's out of a job and asks for a sum of money to get him through his time of need. Does the community have the responsibility, or can we force his parents, who are people of means, to do that? That's an explicit din in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch and the Gaon learns it's based upon a Gemara in Baba Basra and Gemara in Nedarim. Kofin ha'av lozun b'no ani afil hu gadol. That a community, the rabbi, the bezdin, the Shiva Tov Yair, the board, whoever it is, can be forced, the father and the mother, to feed their child who's an ani, even if he's a gadol. Kofin oso yoser mishar ashirim shabir. That means it's not the community's responsibility first and foremost. It's the parents' responsibility to take care of the child, and it's not the community's responsibility. The community can fill in, can chip in, but certainly a chesed organization, a stuck organization, has to recognize that when you're dealing with requests that are coming, you have to know who to be kofin, how to be kofin. So in the first case, when it's an elderly person, you have to look to the kids. The kids have a mitzvah kibud avim. Kids have a mitzvah stuck, and on the mitzvah stuck, you can be kofa, and vice versa. If it's a responsibility upon the parent to take care of a child, the same thing is true in that circumstance as well. Allow me just to finish with a thought. I'm sure everybody in this room is inundated and overwhelmed with stuck requests, whether it comes in the mail, whether it comes by email, whether it comes knocking at your door. We're all inundated and overwhelmed. How do we handle that philosophically, and how do we handle that practically? A great-great-grandchild of a philanthropist who lived in Lithuania was troubled similarly. The door was knocking constantly, and the requests that were coming in his direction were overwhelming. He was taxed, he was burdened, and he was emotionally strapped. he decided to travel to Radin, to the city of the Chafetz Chaim, the Gadol Hador, and ask him how to handle the situation. He walks into the house, and the Chafetz Chaim is learning Perek Chav Gimel, Capital 23 of Tehillim. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayai. And the Chafetz Chaim asked, what's the pshat? Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. That I should be sought after constantly from righteousness and goodness. Chafetz Chaim said, what does that mean? Chafetz Chaim explained that every person in life is going to be chased by something. You're going to be chased by difficulties. You're going to be chased by challenges. Some are more overwhelming. Some are less overwhelming. But you're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know how I want to be chased by Borei Olam? Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni. Chase me to fulfill chesed and tov. That's what I want to be chastised by. That's what I'm being challenged by. The Gvir heard this. He didn't even say Shalom Aleichem to the Chafetz Chaim. He understood that the Chafetz Chaim was talking to him. He walked out, returned to Radin, and knew how to do what he had to do. So I think the approach that we take when we're dealing with Kfiyah, and we're dealing with Tzedakah in general, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench us and our families, that we should be from the Nosnei Tzedakah, that we should be from the Meitivin, that we should be from the people that are always chased with Ach Tov V'Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzedakah, whether it's a Shibur Nechasim, whether it's a mitzvah, either way. But that should be what we should be busy with, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, if he allows us to fill our days with Tov V'Chesed, no longer should we have any struggles and issues that others have. Have a good day.
Nice, very nice. So what's the chat with the
thank you so much for coming. Where do you know that from? Practice is when the Pasuk says most amates, that means that as long as I give you something, that's it. Why, how much do I have to give? That's the big homily. Most amates is
all you need. They can be over the ashay. The mold that you can be over the
Then until the person comes in front of you, that's what I'm learning about Samit is that the person is right there. I'm not over the top if the person is not giving you something.
He's talking to Meduya, the Rosh of the Ramah. Ramah says in the Pharaoh Zion, Matasaniyah, the person's guy of taking the suggestion of Mark, the Sinai, the Tiktak, the Nosei, that's how I'm about it. I'm about Bezo, Malim, Ainah, not only
That's what I'm saying.
How do you understand the one that says the reward right next to the mitzvah? Why is that? Why is that push off kfiyah?
I understand that any time the Torah tells you the schar, so the Torah is giving me the opportunity to make that decision. Why do I need somebody to patch me when God Himself is saying that you're going to get rewarded?
I think you're higher than that, right?
That's what I think.
I know, but so the guy Taka decided I'm not going to do it. I don't buy by that reward. So give him Makas Mardis. So he realizes what he's missing out on. Help him out.
God will take care of him. But like you said, what I'm saying, what could be better than Borei Olam telling you to get reward and punishment?
Maybe Kafir also could trump that in this case where it involves a harem. Where it involves a harem, like by a get, you can yeah. Anytime that the other people are involved, you know, that's nice that he decided not to get the reward. But what about the other guy who needs?
Okay, it could be, but I think it's pasha that when the Torah says a statement that this is the reward you can get, what do you need medicine for?
If the chiyuv of children to pay for their parents is really ultimate mitzvah, not the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, so then why is it any more obligatory on the children than any other b'nei year, even if they're out of town?
You're saying
that's
again?
If the mitzvah. No, it's not coming from the fact of our children.
So let's go to the question. The answer that the first obligation rests on the children. In terms of the list and the order of who you have to give tzedakah to, that first rests on the child.
That's in Hilchot
Tzedakah. Yes, that's a halacha in Hilchot Tzedakah.
Does it count as B'nai B'nai B'nai?
And it's a regular tzedakah. So if it's regular tzedakah, kids have to take care of parents.
They're like B'nai B'nai?
They have a din of B'nai B'nai, yeah. They're in terms of the chronology of who you have to give tzedakah to, that rests upon the child. Yeah.
But can the board, can the committee fraud? Because that, say you've got parents, but you know they're going to say no. Can you ask the board to ask the parents?
Theoretically, that could be an answer. Yeah. That could be an answer. Yeah, you have to work it out. That could be an answer. Yeah, that's already a technical way how to handle that.
Going back to the another pressure on the part of it.
So at the end, he said about the emails and the letters and the phone calls. Mm-hmm. So you have to give if you get for everything that comes.
Everybody has to know what they can give.
But are you obligated the same?
That on a letter and an email, there's no lav of losam. You're not over.
What about the phone call? What about the phone call?
That's what Yashar passed. I said this in shul once, and my black got very mad at me.
What about the phone call? Does that apply for the phone call as well?
Until you see the ani befalon, then you can get the phone.
He has to literally open his hand to
literally open. I don't know. I'm misupik. If you're walking Meir Shar,
proof.
And you don't see somebody going like that over on the lab. I'm misupik about that.
But does that apply?
You're walking in the street, you see somebody, but he doesn't ask you.
But the phone call as well, is that in the same category as the letter?
I think so. The question is, you have a shliach, is it the person himself? Somebody comes on behalf of a yeshiva. Somebody comes on behalf of a ani.
With the star in the holy.
I don't know. Did the ani make a kinyan with that he's a shliach? That he's a real bona fide shliach? Sounds like the ani has to be in front of you, has to ask you, and he has to put out his hand. I don't know, literally put out your hand, figuratively put out his hand.
So I was in Yerushalayim and I was walking through and I gave, and then he made such a fuss that I think I may have embarrassed him because of the way that he was making a fuss.
More money.
How about the guy who actually turns back and gave him something? He actually came back. I was in a swarm store in Yerushalayim and he actually gave me back. He said, no, that's you. I give it to Doc. What are you giving it back to me? He went big bills. You know what I mean? This is an American.
But once he's given, if they then make a fuss.
You're not
What about embarrassing them? It's because of the way they.
That's a different halacha, right? You don't want to embarrass somebody.
No, you don't want to.
No,
they have to be sensitive. Yeah. That's why there are many organizations today. Because
right. It's easier that way, right? Going back to the union of the wife of the wealthy man, and he was siphoning money up. Take the case: a man makes $50,000 a year, and the wife makes $150,000, and he disagrees with his wife giving her leg on giving
that's
up.
That's a question, Evan Ezer. When a wife is making more money than the husband, right. How do you handle that?
Right.
That's a different sugya. That's a shaila hilchos ishus.
Okay.
How there's this concept called ein nizonis veniosa. That's already a question in marriage.
Because
not a question
this is becoming a very big issue within the firm community. Because women are having the jobs and the fans.
When she makes money, it's his money.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how I
wish out people. What if she opts out?
If she opts out, that's what the Gemara says. Ani nizonis veniosa. Don't feed me an eye, I have my own.
But,
so if they make a deal of ani nizonis veniosa, she has her own assets. She can do what she wants with her own assets, as long as they make that deal. I don't believe anybody today has a deal of ani nizonis veniosa, unless you articulate that in the Mishnah.
Because, of course, it's a community justice.
It's understood that a husband and wife, when they're making money, it's in one pot.
Right.
At the fasting, he gives her a ksuba and she gives her.
Right, that's why I'm bringing up this ticket.
But isn't the concept that the man and the husband and the wife are like one, so couldn't
you? Right, one union. Right.
I think it's wise if you have a husband and wife to have one bank account.
Right, well, that's why it's on
there. It's about her making the decision to give, because
they have to work.
They have to work, yeah. That's why I'm bringing
it up. Paskins, if a wife is giving stuff without a husband's knowledge,
right, this is why I'm going to it.
A little bit of money, right. Can't be mad.
Right.
She's giving a lot of money
and what's considered
mad.
A lot. Yeah, that goes back. So what we're going and the next thing? Remember, you have last week there was an Indian of a 30-year-old guy who the parents kicked them out of the house. Everyone saw this. It's very interesting. 30-year-old guy. He doesn't want to work. He's been in the house.
He's
a guy. but he's for 8 years. They've been telling him for 8 years, get a job, get a job, get a job, and he doesn't. And kicked him out. And the court supported the parents' time against him, and they kicked him out. The question is he still? Is he still chayav on the community?
The parents have the responsibility.
Okay, and now that he, that if he was a Jew, and the community responsibly
should go to the parents and tell the parents to take care of your
kids. Okay, interesting. That's why I bring it up. It just happened just the last 3 days, four shops.
Okay, good question. The answer is, the Rambam says that the parents are the first.
There's a sequential order of who has to give the
tzedakah. And since the parents have responsibility to the child, and the child is responsible to the parents, you look to them first. Okay, so if they say no, they say no. Then it becomes the community's responsibility.
But that's on the child to go ask the parents.
Correct.
Now that the child, let's say he asked her, he comes down to Yad Yehuda. He says, I need money. They say, did you ask your parents?
Yeah. He's like, you want to know,
it's not Yad Yehuda's job to now go ask the parents.
So back to think that would probably be wrong. Sure. I think it does become the community's responsibility to find out what size this person is. And if there are parents of need, if there are children of need, that should be inquired. I think that's part of why I spoke about this. This is the guy who gives out a lot of stock. You know, that's like, but you have to
But isn't the view on the community first local? Because other communities, you see, 60% of everything of the kids will.
Organizations have to look, and we regularly do this. We check what affects the
situation. Put a moratorium on giving tzedakah chutz, you know, the city.
Why is it your job as the community to then go? You can ask the government's job, but they, but it's due diligence on the account of the organization.
You have community funds to disperse. Are you going to give it to this person?
A local versus
or give it to somebody else?
Yeah, from outside.
And the community, in Silver Spring, there's a kid who's here from New York. Right, and in New York, the parents have a lot of money. Can the
kid request the parents?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I was in
these cases that I said are not made up cases.
The real stuff.
But I understand asking the kid, saying, "Kid, you know, did you ask your parents?" But the parents said no.
That's what means best intention. The best responsibility to go to the parent and tell the parent,
"You have a kid who's
out of a job, and we can't give him $5,000 a month."
Where do you see that the best can be created?
Somebody
It's interesting to me. There's no mention here of Hefker based in Hefker.
In terms of
as a basis for how you could be called for somebody.
You're saying that
taking his money.
You're taking his money. Hefker based in Hefker.
You're taking his mitzvah. You're taking his money, and then he doesn't get to do the mitzvah.
So it could be that's part of the answer because like the two components, the mitzvah, it's like an the mitzvah. So Hefker Bez and Hefker doesn't work. If we're being called for you to fill a mitzvah, Hefker Bez and Hefker doesn't work. If you look at Kol Tzlach, you have to look at it from the element of it being a mitzvah. You only call for the mitzvah. You're not called for the shibu, you're called for the mitzvah. I think that could be an understanding. Meaning it's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, you call for the mitzvah. You can't say Hefker Bez and Hefker to be the chayv person of the mitzvah. You be called for a person to fulfill the mitzvah.
Which guard says may make the distinction where hadlo amid hadlo amid, right? And use the word amid rachrizim oshir. But I hear the same word as in duhu that they that Besen evaluated him. That he
did.
They don't. It's curious that the Gemara used the word amid rather than oshir. Why did he use amid?
Why use amid? Let me just show you.
The Rambam used the word "enduhu."
Yeah, everybody's.
They said "omdin" also.
Here he doesn't say "komnav lazim." A few dozen shanim should be here. So there he doesn't say it. Here.
The Rambam said, "Remember you said that lashon."
No, no, yeah. Take it.
Go for it. Give the rice as much time as we can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, well, who's this? Is that yours?
Oh, no, it's not mine.
Stamets Rabbi Reingold's. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.